You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Bethel University. I want to thank, first off, thank you to President Chenoweth for inviting me, and Sean Holcomb and Christian Mihu for inviting me here today. I remembered last year when, how many of you were here last year for the MLK? Yeah, I remember last year, so there's a story behind this. This is kind of funny. Last year I was invited to actually speak here at Bethel, and I was supposed to be doing what I'm doing now. I was asked to be the keynote speaker. And I said, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And so I kind of danced around this, and I've been dancing around this opportunity for quite some time. But this time when I was asked, I felt compelled to do it. Like, this is my mission. As we say in Philly, this is my jam. This is like where I am supposed to be. I am created for this purpose, for this time, right here, right now. And I want to also say that you are created for this time and this purpose right here, right now. I promise you that we're going to talk about MLK, and I know that this is a celebratory service, but I want you to know that you are created for a purpose. Now, I know your neighbor is a little bit far away from you, but I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor that you were created for a purpose, and it's right here and right now. Yeah, I know you really can't hear that. I know, it's a little muffled. I get it, it's okay. So once again, I want to say, again, I was invited, but I feel like this time there was something different about the calling. As you know, it's been a very rough year for many of us. We have an economic downturn. We have social unrest happening everywhere. We have COVID-19 that has basically taken over our lives. We're wearing masks. And I want you to know that even in the midst of all of this, that God is still in control. I'm gonna say it again. I heard somebody say that, that God is still in control. And if you're willing to listen, I promise you, we are all going to get through this together. Turn to your neighbor. I know it's going to sound a little muffled, but repeat after me. We are all going to get through this together. And just reassure them in this point. Say, I promise you. I promise you. I promise you. So I want to talk a little bit about why I decided to take this invitation to speak. As we know, like I said, 2020 was very challenging for many. And I would say even for me, I realized it was even challenging for me, the person who always has the smile, the person who always is able to be encouraging, mentoring, being a symbol of strength. I'll tell you, once we started break, Notre Dame started its break at the beginning of December, when I knew that it was time to just come down and just rest, I cried and I wept. I felt like it was just something that I've been holding in ever since the start of the year, because I've been trying to be something and be something for someone, but not necessarily taking care of myself. And so first I want to do is I want to encourage you that it's okay at this particular point in time not to be okay, because this is unprecedented times. But I do want you to know that God is still on the throne. He's still on the throne. Amen. And we are going to get through this together. I heard it in the songs that we've sung, and even my experience at Bethel, that you have a community that really, truly cares. Sometimes we don't know necessarily what all to say or do, and it's perfect, not perfect. But let me tell you, I said this last year, if you remember, those who listen, relationships are messy, but they're worth it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're worth it. I don't think you all believe that. I want you to say, you are worth it. So speaking of relationships, I had this, I don't know, how many of you know Corey Lance? Anybody, everybody, raise your hand. If you don't know him, you need to know him. He invited me and about, I think, 20 other community leaders to participate in something that I would love to see as an alum of Bethel called the Race Circles. Now, let me tell you, right off the bat, the reason why I was tired is because this work of social injustice and social justice, I should say, is tiring. Can I get an amen? I mean, it's tiring, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. And so when Corey, who's a white dude, if you guys don't know who he is, he's a dear friend of mine, invited me to be a part of this race circle, I was like, you know, I'm really tired. I don't want to talk about race anymore. I'm actually the chair of the Diversity and Inclusion Committee at Mendoza College of Business. I serve on DE&I committees. I served on a committee for the YWCA. And it's like, you know, I just want to be able to take some time just for myself. So there was a commitment. And because it's Corey, of course I said yes. But there was a commitment of 9 hours, 3 sessions of 3 hours. And so I told Corey that I wanted to do it. Why did I choose to do it? Because I learned that it is important that as a child of God, as a citizen of the United States, the importance of listening and understanding. And I hear some of you saying, like, nobody's listening, nobody's understanding. That's a lie. Folks are listening. Folks want to be heard. Why do you think that there's so much social unrest? Because people want to be seen and they want to be heard. You don't have to agree with me. In a lot of these different meetings that I've participated in, including the race circle, I have heard Black people say, you know what? I just want people to understand the pain it is. I want you to understand microaggressions. I want them to understand this. And then I have white folks saying, I want you to understand that I want to be your ally. And I don't understand. Some of the things that I learned were not, what did they say, are not caught, but they were taught to me. And some of them were caught. So I want to be able to get away from some of my prejudice. Some don't, but some do. I just want you to know that. Some do. And so in this race circle, there were 20 of us. I'm making that number up because I really didn't think about it until just now. There was about 20 of us, half Black, half white. And what we did in that circle was nothing short of a miracle. I came with my, I'm on this committee for diversity and inclusion. I understand this. I understand that. I realize I don't understand nothing. I don't know. I'm sorry. We're in college. I don't understand anything. So we sat in a circle, and Corey essentially gave us a question. And we had to answer the question. We went around, and we went, all 20 of us went around, and we actually had to answer a question. And a lot of it had to do with our experience with race, obviously. And the whole point of this was that You were not allowed to ask questions. It was just a listening session. I listened to white folks cry, black folks cry, Corey cry, I cried, because I don't ever remember a time in my life where we could just sit with time, and other thing was, there wasn't a time limit on it, I just want you to know this, where we could just sit and listen. Listen to folks' pain and their triumphs and how they overcame. It was such a great experience for me. It filled my heart. I'm not going to sit up there and say, well, that wasn't my experience. And what I also learned was that I learned to be a better and much more effective listener. And one of the goals that Corey actually asked us to do in this was that don't let this fellowship, I think this is his third cohort, don't let this fellowship stop. I want you to build relationships around this circle. Why? Because in the very essence of what he was trying to accomplish, we realize that what separates us, the things even that we have in common that seem like it separates us, we actually have a lot of commonalities. Ain't getting no too many amens for that. You know why? Because we have to look outside of ourselves. We do. We have to learn how to love one another. And I'm not just talking about, oh, hey, what's up? High five kind of love. I'm talking about the love of God that exudes inside of each and every one of our relationships. It goes beyond family and friends. It goes beyond the folks. It goes beyond what we can even fathom. It's the love of God. The love of God. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, hey, it's the love of God? Yeah, I got to make sure I keep you all awake here. I got to make sure, because you know why? Because love is one of those type of conversations that most people are like, oh, that's ooey gooey. But let me tell you, if we are ever going to be a nation that rises above our differences, we are going to have to learn to love one another. Can we agree with that? We have to learn to love one another. And I asked, before I'm asking you to do it, I said, Lord, start with me. Start with me. I'm talking about purpose. This is what I'm called to do. This is my jam. I love seeing people of all different colors come together, holding hands, singing kumbaya, singing We Are the World, whatever you want to call it, because we are called to something so much bigger. So much bigger than what we can even fathom. And you know what? Young people and some of the older people over there. Older people over there. We've got to get this. How many of you know that we've got to get this? Raise your hand if you know. I mean, don't be, I mean, I would be raising both hands. We got to get this. Y'all don't know, I guess some of y'all, do I need to convince you a little bit? We got to get this. Turn to your neighbor and say, we got to get this. We got to get this. This love, I'm specifically talking about this love. I want you to know that the folks that are working hard, your colleagues, your classmates that have to over and over and over try to show love for one another. I'm talking on both sides. I mean, again, this year has brought a lot of challenges. It's okay to even be tired at this particular point in time. But I would say rest in the Lord. One of the things that when I was here 10 years ago, I had an opportunity to teach a class. And the class was called Intercultural Communications. It was about 10 years ago when I taught here. And in that class, we had a variety of different topics that we talked about. But one of the topics that we talked about was the media. And yes, I'm going to go there. I mean, I now have this nice little thing called the Apple Watch. If you don't have one, somebody, you should get it, because it monitors how much time I stay on my phone. Because I need to monitor it. Because some of the things that are being sent into my personal space are toxic. So in my actual class, I had this wonderful idea to have speakers, specifically folks that worked in media, come to my class to speak. I had folks that were extremely conservative and folks that were extremely liberal, and there were four of them in total. And we, as the class, asked them a series of questions. And one of the guys that was there, and this was shocking to me, one of the gentlemen that was there, one of the students asked, "What is your purpose? What is the media's purpose? What is your purpose specifically?" And he said, "My purpose is to incite you." True story. I will never forget this. He said, and he continued by saying, "If I do not get you riled up, I would not have a job." When someone tells you who they are, believe them, right? He said, "That is my main purpose." And I know this guy. He's a good friend of mine. Don't always agree with him. But his purpose in life, he said, is to get folks riled up. You guys, you see why I say it's important that we love one another, that love be the root, the center, because there are forces. And this man, he's a good guy, but he wouldn't have a job, to his point, if he was not getting us all riled up. Sad job. May not have really found out the purpose of what love can do. Well, I want to share that I, myself, have experienced what this love can do. Me, of all people, probably have tons of reasons to be broken, fractured, angry. And I'm not talking about in my profession. I'm talking about in my life. I was violently abused in my life. Violently abused in my life by my father. And then I found love. And this love changed me. And if love can change my heart, I know it can change yours. Love is not something that is mamby-pamby. It is something that is transformative. It will transform you if you allow it to. But the thing is, we have to allow it. Giving ourselves permission to allow ourselves to work through these difficult times, and to allow ourselves to be a community in the midst of these times. I don't know what you came to do in 2021. I heard that there's some goal setting and there's some things that are going to, but make it your point to cultivate a deeper relationship with the Lord, because only He can help us. Only He. And so I'm kind of having to wrap up a little bit, but I want you to just realize this. That even Jesus knew the importance of love. That He died for us. Because He loved us. Even in our, I know Chad, you told me not to say this word, mess. But He died for us. And that He loves us. So I want you to watch this short video that I'm going to present for you. It's the words of MLK about the importance of loving your neighbor.
And people ask me about it all the time. So what do you mean when you tell us to love these people who are beating on us and bombing our houses and kicking our children around? What in the world do you mean when you say love such people? And I always have to stop and try to define the meaning of love in this area. And interestingly enough, Greek philosophy comes to our aid at this point. There are three words in the Greek language for love. One of them is the word eros. Now, eros is a sort of aesthetic love. It has come to us to mean a sort of romantic love, and so we all know about eros. We've experienced it. We've read about it in the beauties of literature. Then the Greek language talks about phileo, which is another level of love. It is an intimate affection between personal friends. On this level, we love because we are love. We love people that we like. This is friendship. Then the Greek language has another word called agape. Agape is more than romantic love. Agape is more than friendship. Agape is not something affectionate. Agape is understanding, creative, redemptive goodwill for all men. It is an overflowing love which seeks nothing in return. Theologians would say that it is the love of God operating in the human heart. And when one rises to love on this level, he loves men not because he likes them, but he loves every man because God loves him. He goes on. So he rises to the level of hating the system rather than the individual who is caught up in that system. He loves the person and hates the evil deed. And I think this is what Jesus meant when he said, love your enemies. And I'm happy that he didn't say like your enemies, because it's pretty difficult to like some people. It's difficult to like people bombing your home and threatening your children and kicking you about. But Jesus says, love them, and love is greater than like. Love is understanding, creative, redemptive goodwill for all men. And somehow, more and more, I've come to believe this. Yes. This is the way that we will get out of this dark night of oppression.
So my prayer for you today is, Lord, teach us how to love. Teach us how to love one another. As I said, I'm going to say the same thing I said in my closing last year. It's difficult, but it's been my experience that it's worth it. It is so worth it. And I promise you that if you do the work, and that means drawing closer to the Lord, finding community, running from evil, you're going to find the same kind of love that that man, well, he's not there anymore, that Martin Luther King experienced and Jesus experienced when he went to the cross. So my prayer is that learn to love one another. God, open our hearts so that we can love one another. Sean, I'm turning the mic over to you. Thank you all.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes Store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.